Welcome back to the Men After God podcast, where you will hear conversations to equip the next generation of godly men. On each episode, we'll bring biblical truth on a wide range of topics impacting the lives of men, and it's our heart's desire to help you to strengthen and deepen your relationship with God so that you can fulfill your God-given purpose. This is Pastor Jason, and I want to thank you all for joining us today. I'm excited because we have another special episode for you. The hosts of the Men After God podcast were featured guests with One Flesh Marriage Ministry to talk about the saying, happy wife, happy life. And whether that's a fact or a myth, it's a common saying, but should your happiness really depend on someone else's happiness? It's worth thinking and talking about, whether you're married or single. It's going to be an amazing discussion, and I trust that you'll have loads of takeaways. I know you're going to be blessed by the message, so sit back and enjoy.
Let's get to it. Again, this is Pastor Terrence with One Flesh Marriage Ministry. My wife is Erica Gamble. And so on this particular night, though, we're going to have a special meeting where it's from the men perspective of this particular known saying that a lot of older men have often told younger men, married men, and that is happy wife, happy life. Fact or myth? So let's get into it tonight. So if each panelist can go ahead and just introduce themselves, and then we can get right at it.
I am Pastor Orlando. Glad to be here.
Pastor Donnie. Serve alongside my wife, my bride, Dana Roberson.
So we have Pastor Donnie and Pastor Jason. So I'm sure that at some point in your life that you have heard this term, happy wife, happy life. And so I just want you all to answer, when you first heard it, when somebody had first mentioned the term, how did it make you feel when you heard this term? What age were you to?
Okay, you know what? I'll go and kick it off. You know, I was about 19 when I first heard it. And I think it was right in that season where I was already dating my now wife. I was dating her and just getting advice, you know, trying to get advice from other people and things of that nature. And that was one of the phrases that came across the conversation when I was seeking counsel, and it was happy wife, happy life. And so when I heard it,
Pause.
You got him on pause. All right, Pastor Donnie, when did you first hear?
I would have to say it's probably like early 20s, but I didn't pay no mind because it was okay. Like, I'm not married yet. And I feel like this thing is going to be easy anyway.
Okay.
Little did I know. But yeah, when I heard it, I was like, I get, you know, what people are saying. And it was, you know, brothers that I heard this from. But I didn't, you know, I thought it would be so easy, you know, in a sense, once I got married, you know, didn't really realize the work. But I'm a true believer.
Okay. I first heard it when I got married. It wasn't because the people in my circle, unfortunately, or in my family, it wasn't really any married people, no married men per se, you know? And so therefore I did not hear the term until we joined church, joined a ministry. And so that phrase was said, quite often, happy wife, happy life. And it was kind of like a drop off, you know, it wasn't no explaining. There wasn't too much explaining to it. It was just like, look, this is what you do. Happy wife, happy life. You know, just go with whatever she say, you know, and roll with it. And so we really just want to dive in. By all means, if anybody have any comments or questions, Pastor Dunn, you'll let us know. If there's a question or so, can you do that?
Yeah, I can monitor the comments. So if anybody has a question,
Okay.
You know, I'll definitely chime back in and let us know so we can address it.
All right. Cool. Hey, Pastor Jason, nice for you to join us.
Hey.
Again, you know, this term, happy wife, happy life, you know, for a person, for me, that did not necessarily have a marriage mentor per se, you know, this term, you know, when it's used so loosely, it can carry a lot of weight. And so if we could just break down, like, when you heard it, what did it do for you? How did it make you feel as a man when you heard about this phrase, happy wife, happy life?
I'll jump in real quick. I first heard it, man, when I was probably approaching marriage, and my wife and I had been together since we were, I think, about 17 years old. Well, I was 17, she was 18, because I'm younger. When I first heard it, I think it was maybe 23, 24 years old. I heard it from like a peer. I didn't hear it from like an older person that had kind of been in the game for a while. But I looked at this brother's relationship, and he has some issues. And it was like for him to be like, keep her happy, man, just happy wife, happy life. But he was like, you know, had so many issues. And so, you know, you at the time, you thought it was wisdom. You're like, man, this is true. I really gotta do this and use this in my marriage. You know, as we get older and we learn, you know, we see that that's not the case. And we're going to explore that some more. I don't want to go too far, but for me, like, I was kind of, I wasn't surprised to hear it. I thought it was wisdom when I first heard it, though.
You know, I would say the same. And like I said, when I first heard it, it was kind of like, okay, you know, not necessarily realizing the work that it would take in marriage. But, you know, once I got married, definitely. And again, not to even get like too far ahead, that saying really came into play for me when my wife and I read the five love languages, because it's just like, really, you know, for spouses to make each other happy, and my responsibility, you know, to keep my wife happy would be to love her how she needs to be loved. You know, it's not me just making up stuff. It's me figuring out like how she needs to be loved. That, I feel like that's how you truly make and keep a happy wife.
Mm.
Amen.
Okay. Pastor O, how did it make you feel when you heard this?
Well, again, and you know what? I just want to throw a disclaimer out there beforehand. You know, I'm not no love. I'm sure we're not no love doctors or no professional married husbands, but this whole thing is a journey. Okay, I'm just gonna throw that out there right then and there. But when I first heard it, and now again, I'm young and nevertheless, still kind of knowing what I want, knowing that I want a wife, and knowing also that I'm gonna need some wisdom, you know. So once I heard it, you know, I took it for gold, you know, because I actually heard it from one of my godfathers who actually passed away, you know, and he was like, "Yeah, son, happy wife, happy life," but he said it more than once to me, and so I thought that was okay. That's the end of it. That's gonna be what it is. But it wasn't until I got into marriage and really wanted to hold on to that belief, and I'm not gonna go further, you know, but it wasn't until I got into that relationship and got married that it was a different story. And I'm gonna explain that some more.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and I'll say for me, I was looking at who was saying it to me. Yeah. And so, of course, I looked at the dynamics of, from my perspective. You know, mind you, like I said, these are church relationships at the time. And I'm a young man, you know, in my early 20s. And so I'm listening to older men, and they're all saying the same words, yeah, you know. But I was also looking at these men and their interaction with their spouses. And I'll say that these brothers weren't the most dominant in reference to their demeanor, just their, just how they approached with when it came to their wife. I mean, they were some strong men, some strong brothers. However, you know, when the wife said, "Come on, let's go," that's it. Yeah. Okay, let's go and do it. And so, anyway, so how it made me feel when I heard it, I was a little nervous because I didn't know if that mean that, you know, that man, happy wife, happy life, is gonna cost you. It's gonna cost you your manhood. I'ma just be 100, you know, if I could just be real. If I could just, you know, if we gonna go in tonight, you know.
So
the way that these brothers were saying it and how they did not expound too much. But the way that they said it, it wasn't really a beautiful love song, you know.
Yeah.
It was like they lost them, you know, where there was no compromise. It was just rather default, just lay down and just roll with whatever. And that was what I felt like what was presented with these brothers. So it had me nervous. You know, nevertheless, you know, I'm like, wow, that's a tall drink of water right there. I don't know, because that's difficult.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Pastor O, you said that there you asked some brothers this question. You had a little poll. So yeah. how was the poll?
Yeah. So you know, this topic, you know, was running through my head all week, man, and I really just didn't want to give what I had, but I wanted to hear from other men and what they thought about this topic or this phrase. And one guy in particular, he told me, he say, "Look, as long as she ain't bugging me, then I know she happy." That's what he told me. And as long as she ain't bugging me, and then he went to break. He went to break after that. And I laughed at it, but then realize, like, you know what, that's a lot of men's perspective on whether or not their woman or their wife is happy if she's not asking for nothing, or if she's not worried about nothing, or if she's not just being vocal in the household. That's a symbolization that, you know what, everything is good, the marriage is great. And a lot of times that can be the other way around, you know, where, you know, it may be things going on in a marriage, you know what I'm saying? And from a man who thinks that way, you may think that everything is going good, but in reality, what's happening is your spouse or your wife is probably keeping a tab on what's going on and is just looking for that right time to really just open it up. So when the guy told me that, I really was kind of nervous for him. And I had to tell him, like, dude, there needs to be some communication, whether good or bad. You know what I'm saying? It needs to be meant. Tell me the good report. Tell me what we got to work on, you know, and just so you know the status of your relationship thus far.
So how long have you all been married? I've been married for 14 years. Pastor Dunn, how long you been married?
You said Pastor Dunn? I've been married a
while. Wow. Long enough to know, huh?
My wonderful bride.
Amen. He can't remember the number right now.
That's okay. We go slide on. Pastor Jason.
Man. How you keep a happy wife, happy life, man. My wife and I, looking at, we just passed 13 years, man. Beautiful bride, beautiful marriage. It's just wonderful. Praise God. So 13 years for us, man.
Yeah. And I'm coming up on a decade, 10 years in October, man. 10 years. And I'm about to be 32 years old next week. So I got married young too. So.
All right. So, okay. So with that being said, is it a fact or a myth? Yes. Happy wife. Happy life. Go ahead, brothers. Don't be scared to ask. Is it? You can expound after, you know, but
okay.
Just
okay.
For right, well, now, is it a factor of myth?
It's definitely a myth. It's definitely, it could potentially be factual, but it, at the beginning stages, it's a myth. It's a myth.
Amen. Okay.
Amen. I would say, I think it's, unfortunately, there is a little bit of truth in there, right? It's like a little bit of, you know, we understand it, right? I mean, the word is that teaches us to take care of our wives, to love our wives as Christ loved the church. You know, I think the problem is when people overdo it, right? And so they sit and they allow that way of thinking to really infect and infiltrate the entire marriage to the point where you can no longer be the man of God that God has called you to be in your life, right? So you know, I get it, right? It's like, hey, you know what? Do I need to fight and quibble about every single thing that goes on? No, I don't. Right. But part of this partnership, at least for me and my wife, like, you know, we talk about what's going on, and it's like, you know, I have the final say, right? It's like, hey, you know, be able to go and do some things, but we communicate about spending, we communicate about what the kids are doing, things like that, and decisions that are made. It's not just this, you know, my wife's out doing whatever she want to do, and then that's my way of keeping her happy, just letting her go do whatever she wants. No, that's not it, right? You know, we can't have chaos in our marriages, and if you allow that way of thinking to really kind of embed itself deep in your marriage and deep in your heart, then you're just gonna be messed up for a long time. So I get it, you know, that there's some, I don't even want to call it truth, but there's some components of it that I think that makes sense for a marriage in terms of, again, you know, caring about the other person, being considerate, you know, things of that nature, being a servant even to your wife, and so things like that. So I try to pull those things out of it, and you know, in those extreme cases where a brother came, you know, he has, you know, no backbone, no spine whatsoever. I mean, those are often extreme cases that I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, for me, I would go back to what I said. You know, I have to say that it's not a fact necessarily, but definitely there's a little bit of truth to it. You know, more than anything, though, especially for a believer, us as men of God, you know, what even this ministry was like established on and what we started with in terms of foundation of having the vertical relationship in order with the Father, you know, knowing how Christ loved the church and then emulating Christ in that matter. Like, I feel like that's what's ultimately going to make our wives happy. You know, you got a godly wife, definitely, because she's going to be looking for that. You know, otherwise, you could run around and try to do any and everything, you know, yeah, to make your wife happy.
Yeah,
not loving how she wants to be loved on top of that, and then, you know, you think she happy because she's not complaining, but just going back to, I think what you said, Pastor, oh, you know, you're fooled, you know, the marriage is, yeah, it's just hanging on, you know, so there's, yeah, it takes a lot to, you know, keep a happy home, so to speak, but it all starts with the relationship with the Father. There are a lot of things we do have to do in the natural. So I don't want to, you know, like over spiritualize something, because there's like practical things we got to do, you know, as men of God, to ensure that, you know, our wives aren't feeling a certain way about, you know, the marriage. You know, very practical things that it talks about in, you know, the Five Love Languages book, you know. You know, what are her like languages? Is it acts of service? Is it service? Is that what she wants? Is your wife happier? Do you take initiative to clean the kitchen, to do the laundry, to do stuff with the kids, to do stuff before she has to do it or has to ask for you to do it? You know, when wives are, I can speak for my wife. When my wife feels overwhelmed, she's not happy and she's feeling overwhelmed because she's feeling like everything is on her plate as it relates to the house. She's not a stay-at-home wife. So she goes to work full-time, just like I do. You know what I mean? So if she has to come home and do start the second shift, so to speak, with the kids in the home, she's not happy. So like, I just wanted to say there's like a lot of practical things we could do as husbands to ensure the happiness of the home. So there is some truth to it.
Okay.
And you know what? I can you hear me? Okay. You know what? I really wanted to really expound on why I said that it was a myth. Well, while I came up with the conclusion that this was a myth and somewhat had a little truth to it. And that's because I would seem like a superhero if I proposed to my wife, seeing that she wasn't happy, thinking that I can bring happiness to her if she married me. You know what I'm saying? I would seem like some kind of a superhero. So just going back to when I got married, it was a happy moment. We were happy about it. We were excited. We knew that, no, this was it. This was the right thing to do. God ordained this. There was no ifs, ands, buts about it. We got all of the luggage out of the way, and it was just happiness. Now, if my wife is not happy in my marriage, it's because maybe, you know what, I'm not doing something to add on to that happiness that she had when we got married. Because it's a problem if your wife ain't happy when you get married and you are happy. Mm. And now you're trying to exert or exhaust your happiness to try to make her happy. And now that she's somewhat happy, now all the happiness you done had in you is now depleted. You know what I'm saying? And what I'm saying is my wife just can't be happy. We both gotta be happy in order for this to work. You know what I'm saying? Happy wife, happy husband, equal happy life. You know what I'm saying? And that's how every man got to see it, because otherwise we'll be on this we'll be in this cycle, and hamster. Next thing you know, it'll be something else that she needs to be happy, or something else that she needs. You know what I'm saying? And you'll lose yourself of, you know, not knowing that, no, this happiness is supposed to be built upon your happiness, my happiness. What is it going to take? You said the love language is Pastor Donnie. Let's implement that. Let's just make this one big old happy shebang. You know what I'm saying? Let's implement that. But I feel like if someone says, let's just say a wife is just like, you know, I'm just done with this. I'm just done. A husband, I'm just done. Then what's their happiness from the start? Because I would be upset if my wife's happiness was false as she walked down the aisle. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So I mean, it is definitely a working, but it definitely involves both parties knocking it out.
I'm sorry, real quick, because we have a comment from Sister Reese on Facebook. She said this. She said we should aim to make one another happy. You know, so it's not a one-sided deal. Mm-hmm. You know, it shouldn't be one-sided. So that's
right.
You know, what Pastor O was saying, you know, it's just like, so like we said, there's some truth to it, yes, but we should both, you know, be fighting, you know, to keep the romance, to fan the flame, right?
Now I'm gonna just throw this out here, because this scripture has sometimes been taken out of context or you know, you could say. And that is, the rebuttal to that is that when a man find of a wife, he finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And so sometimes that could be viewed as is that the wife is the good thing Wow. And that, so therefore, there is nothing required on the wife end. So then, so a brother that hear happy wife, happy life, feel like, you know what? They just, they need to be running for the good thing. And they about to just make sure they have that good thing right, because the wife is the prize. And so sometimes there have been, I'm sure there have been women that have said that. I have heard women say that, not my wife. And I'm just being for real. That's just truthful though. Erica never have said that. But I have heard single ladies often state that scripture, but it comes from this. So not that it's just that it esteems them, but I would say that it go to another level of kind of haughtiness. Not even that they're wife ready. You know what I'm saying? Wow. You a woman, but that don't make you wife. You know what I'm saying? So, but yet you, so it's the sense of this false sense of obligation. And so without, I feel sometimes in the body of Christ that have not always been expounded upon in church to give people, and especially singles, just a better picture and an understanding of what does it mean. And I definitely agree with, you know, not losing yourself, you know, that no one should have to lose themselves. But then, you know, truth be told, you know, I really look at words, you know, words are powerful, right? So when we say happy, happy wife, happy life, well, then I also think of this. But if we are we talking about happiness, happiness comes and goes so fast. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You could be happy for some ice cream, but if you eat the whole pint, you're not going to be happy anymore. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, so it comes and goes. So I feel like, man, if we go off of happiness by definite, like it has an expiration date. So, I mean, wow, if the term could have been a joyful wife, a joyful life, I would say 100% truth. You know what I'm saying? Because the joy of the Lord is her strength. It's the same for the husband, right? But when we're talking about this happiness, whether it's from the man or the woman, you know, I don't want my wife to be trying to sit here and make me happy when I know that anything that depending on my day, depending on what's going on, especially now with everything that's going on, people feeling changed so much. And so that's a prison. That becomes a prison for any person to have to try in their own strength to say that, you know what, I'm going to adhere not to the spiritual aspect of the person, but their emotional, their soulish aspect. And I believe that's a difficult task that I rather not take, but rather adhere to what God says, because he can do it the best. You know what I'm saying? That it's not really a matter of saying that I'm the man. I'd rather point you to the one, you know. Now, it took me years, you know, I'm saying this, but it took me a long time to really submit to that, because I was trying to do things in my own strength, and just to find out that I just wasn't as manly as I am. I wasn't strong enough. By no default to anybody else, but that's what the Lord pointed out to me.
I wanted to add, I know it'll be a moment before people respond, but it's interesting that men are told that. I wonder what women are told, and if there's anything similar that women are told before they get married. That's kind of along the same line. So I know it'll maybe, hopefully some responses will pop in just a moment, but I mean, y'all hit it right on the head, man. I cannot derive my happiness from my wife. I cannot derive my joy for my wife or anything else. Those things have to come from God. And so, you know, the more we unpack this thing, brothers, it's just, we want to point out the lies and the thing the myth does exist. We don't want to, you know, I know we don't want to keep this lie alive. We want this thing to go away, right? I'm not going to tell my son happy wife, happy life. Like, it's just, that's just something that this is going to stop in this generation for me. At least for right now. But like you said, Pastor Terrence, I mean, did I walk in the door with the same mindset that I have today? Absolutely not. You know, when I first got married you know, my wife and I have been together for goodness, over 20 years, just in terms of us being together. That wasn't my mindset. My mindset was, you know, let me make her happy, because I fed into that that way of thinking. And so it's like everything that you know, she wants to do, we got to do it. And every move that she wants to make, we got to do it, because I got to keep her happy, right? If she's happy, I'm happy. And so, you know, people take this way of thinking into a marriage, man, and they go off the cliff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as husbands, we're supposed to hear from God about our family, what we're supposed to be doing, getting the instruction from the Father directly, and then kind of dispersing it amongst, you know, the family. But if my motivation is is not on God, but it's on her, then everything that God is telling me to do is just falling on deaf ears, and I'm going to get off track in my life because I'm serving another master, right? It's just maybe a third master here, isn't besides money, and God is somebody else in this thing. I'm trying to serve her, and I've made my wife an idol in my life, and not even realizing it, that I've put her on a pedestal above where God should be.
Wow.
And so if that's the case, if there's any brother listening right now,
yeah,
we prioritize. God's got to be on the first. He's got to be first, right? And we got to get insight from him. We got to hear from God. We got to do what he's asking us to do. When we do that, then the path that we have in our life is going to be right. You know, we can't continue to. It doesn't have to even be the wife. It could be a child in the family. You know, we got kids that are, you know, God bless them, maybe great athletes and things like that, and everything around the family is built around that athlete, getting him to where he needs to go. And so everything else in the family is now secondary, because mm-hmm. he's going to make it and he's going to get us out, right?
Instead, right.
We need to still position ourselves, posture ourselves directly under the hand of God, under the voice of God, in order for us to be able to lead our families effectively. We can't lead if we're getting insight, information, and our motives are to please somebody else in the family. So, I've said a little bit. I'm sure some folks have jumped in with some responses by now. I don't know if Donnie, you're getting ready to read a couple.
We do have some responses. One, and we have a question too from our brother Thomas, who had chimed in. We'll get to that after the.
What up, Thomas? Glad you're on here.
Some of the women said women are told how to keep a man. You know, so whereas we're told happy wife, happy life. Another one was, you know, another lady said, I wasn't told anything like that. Some have been told, get a man who is more into you than you are into him. You know, so various things, feed him and don't nag him. You know, that kind of speaks to what Pastor O said about, as long as she ain't bothering you, she happy. You know, it's that kind of same thing. And then another comment, long before I was married, I was told the phrase was derived from how important it is for the husband not to take his wife for granted. Help out when you can, because wives usually wear so many hats to keep everyone's needs met. It can become exhausting. Another comment, we'll go on to the question, find ways to appreciate her. Most definitely get to know her love language. You know, it's what I was spoke on. This is my mama talking to you. You show her live through your actions, and the wife should do the same. Let's get to the brother's question real quick, though, because I want to be mindful that people, want to know certain things. He says, how do you determine what makes my wife happy? What if I'm doing what I think makes my wife happy, but I'm actually doing the opposite? I wish I had the book. The five love languages, because that's what I will really speak on. I think that is an excellent book. And then you could just ask your wife.
I was just going to say it, man. Come on. Come on. But you see, it goes back to this. Like, see, when you're in a relationship and it's getting serious and you guys got some longevity, even if you ain't married, you know, the best thing that you can do is to express how you feel. You know what I'm saying? All the way up even into marriage. Like I tell my wife, hey, what's wrong? Tell me. You got to have a listening ear too, guy. Thomas, you got to have a listening ear too to when she expresses it. And if there's any accountability that you must take, when she expresses, like, man, I wanted you to do this, but you came at me this way, You know, you got to own up to that and be like, you know what? Okay, I got you. Take note of it and fix it. You know what I'm saying? But it's always, man, communication. Yeah. Communication. We talk about that so much, but man, somewhere down the line, if communication is not the strength in the relationship and honesty and trust, then somebody gonna be thinking that y'all doing good while the other person is falling back. So it's just like this. It's like that. Yeah. While somebody pushing their head thinking the marriage is thriving, the other person, because of lack of communication, is looking at it as, man, we falling apart. It's coming apart. You know, so go ahead, brothers. Any other thing?
No, I totally agree. You know, I would say that both parties have to care about how each other feel.
Got to.
And it has to be spoken voice, you know, voice. Now, don't get me wrong. Body language speaks louder than your words, you know. So, and another term that's said, and I know it's definitely one from the west side of Chicago, and that is, it doesn't cost to pay attention. It don't cost to pay attention. So, pay attention. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, read and understand any individual if you care about them. You know, if you love them enough, pay attention to that spouse, and then you can pick up on what's right. But at bare minimum, ask the question, and ask the question at the right time too. You know, not off of frustration. You know, because see, if you just got stumped right in a puzzle, and then it's like, okay, now you upset, so you want to know what's right because you upset because you thought you had it right. You know, so you know that's not the time to now want to solve the puzzle. You know, cool off so that you can come with a pure heart, and that you will be received the right way. You know, so. But that's a great question. So anybody else have something?
It is great.
Yeah. I mean, I'll add a couple of things. I mean, we got to pray, right? You know, God will give us the answer, number one. And then in his word, he teaches us how to care for our wives and how to care for our families. And so that's something that, you know, we can't forget about. I think for me and my wife, I was the guy that was like, happy wife, happy life, you know, and that was a motivator for me for a long time. But I thank God that my wife, you know, at some point she was just like, you know, Jason, what do you want to do? What is it? What's on your mind? What does God want us to do? So she would challenge me to take my position as the head of the house, you know, and she would say things like, you know, you're the head, you're the leader, right? So I thank God for it. It's not a sign of weakness or immaturity in me, but to have someone love you enough to be willing to sort of take a back seat in the relationship, so to speak, and just say, hey, you go, you get that information from God, lead me, right? That's the kind of communication that we're talking about. And so ladies, if you see your man, you got to be able to recognize it too, because you ladies, y'all can't just be like, hey, he making me happy, he doing whatever he want. God will show you like, no, sis, that's not the way. And when you get an understanding of that's not the way, you understand you know, hierarchy in terms of the family and things of that nature. I think that it's easier to go to your husband and say, hey, babe, like, look, you know, you're the head. It's not all about me. What is it that you want to do? Because the things that God would have us to do, again, we're putting those things to the side to just make that one person happy. And we can't keep doing that. So ladies, step in, be willing to step in, make sure the situation is an appropriate time to be able to just challenge them, like, hey, you the head, what do you want to do? What should we be doing? She may have an idea of she may have the right answer, but our wives, they want to know that we can come to the right answer too. And so women of God, challenge the men of God in this area, you know, and you know, don't be all extra with it. Challenge him in love to step into his position, and brothers, be willing to.
Yeah. No, you know what? That's good, Jay. You know, because for a while, you know, even when I first got married, you know, the mindset I had was, you know what, I'm the head, I'm the lead, y'all follow me. You know what I'm saying? I'll accept input, but at the end of the day, it's my decision, you know, and that got me in so much trouble, you know, and though I was making the right decision, well, though I thought I was making the right decisions, I saw the expression on my wife's face. I'm going to give you one right here. I bought a car and I went to the lot. My wife was supposed to go with me. She wanted to go with me. But I took a friend of mine and we decided on, you know what, this is the right kind of get right here. So now I come back home, show my wife the car, and for a moment I think everything is good until that car starts giving me problems, right? And so now my wife is like, see, I asked you, can I go with you? You know, I wanted to go with you. And for a man, for a husband, even somebody who's a fiance or any single that's listening, what's so important is that we not look at our wife as someone who just take care of the kids or just put food on the table when we get home from work. But no, she's there to help. She's on the side of me to assist. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's going to make us thrive. That's what's going to make her happy. No, what is it? You said that joy. That's what's going to make her a joyful wife. You know what I'm saying? And not just happy, but a joyful wife when she's included. You know what I'm saying? So it's just time for us to include. I mean, like, I grew up, man, seeing where men, where a marriage went down the drain because of the husband's perspective on how he viewed his wife and what her position was, you know what I'm saying? And that tore it up. So
I wanted to piggyback off of what Pastor Jason said, because there's so much truth to that. And a Christian wife is looking for a man that's not like the world totally. Yeah. And then I can honestly say that when I came into marriage, I was probably a little more passive and still growing, right? You know, got a son, got another one, and it's just together, like almost like it's on auto. You know what I mean? Like cruise control, not realizing the work. But like, I know this much about my wife. You know, same as said that, same as Jason has said, you know, when my wife has looked to me, you know, like to essentially do more, to step up, she's really looking for me to be the leader of the home. You know what I mean? And that's not something that, you know, I heard, you know, so even going back to the whole phrase, happy wife, happy life, you know, nobody told me what it would take. You know, they just said the phrase and you know what I mean? And then the hope started. You know, you're in love and then the work starts. Mm-hmm. From that point, you know, you got to keep investing. And at the same time, understanding what God expects me to be as a husband. But thank God for wives, godly wives who are our help. You know what I mean? I was talking to on my job. I was trying to help one of our board members with his iPad, and I don't even know how we got in the family. And I said something about my boys, and you know that I was married, and he said something about us as men needing help. And he said my wife. He said that his wife told him the only reason she married him. Because he needed help. I thought it was funny, but it's true. And thank God for godly wives that I know my wife. Like she's all in. She wants to help. She wants me to be everything that God, you know, requires of me to be. She needs for me to be for her and my children. So, I mean, Christian women, they expect more than the world has to offer. You know, it's they're not looking for that kind of dude. I remember, and I don't mean to be long-winded, I remember when I was single and I was trying to like read everything and listen to everything on, you know, single, being single link Christ. And I remember Dr. Dollar said in this one series, he said, Christian women want corny dudes. They want a dude not like a regular dude, yeah. You know, that loves a certain way, that's really doing things by the word. It's not getting a rap from the streets or from their uncles or anything like that. Totally different. Totally different.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, if I would have heard it from a male that would have expounded on what they were trying to say as it pertains to it. And so because that did not happen, it rather had an adverse effect on me because I found myself always trying to defend my manhood. And so therefore, all I kept saying, you know, and this is after I leave church, okay? You know what I'm saying? And though, especially when it's heard over the, especially when it was said over the pulpit, and I'm like, oh man, you're blasting me. Because if the pastor is saying, hey, happy wife, happy life, and everybody is clapping and saying, yeah, but I'm like, man, you know, what is it going to cost me? Because I don't have any reference point. And that's so I'm trying to solve this puzzle with all the variables of what I see. But what I see is not good, per se. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm just seeing where brothers just give in. And so here I am. I'm trying to always make sure that I'm expressing myself. I'm yelling, hey, I'm the man, you know, quit trying to run me or da 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 da. And that, not in hindsight, I realized that wasn't always the case. Yeah. But because I had this this wall up, I'm trying to play defense now. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, okay, this is crazy. And so, but the Lord had to grow me and to show me by Holy Spirit the proper way. Because, you know, if men do that without, you know, for all the people that have heard these terms, and this goes for women too, though, you know, for that woman that is trying to, because I guess people have talked to people about how to please a man, right? I mean, okay, you can do that. You can cook and you can and rub his feet and all of that. However, you know, that same man can still find something to find fault in, right? You know, and how many times have my wife have watched the kids and have cooked something and it's just something that sticks out to me and I show displease me, right? How selfish of me. And I, you know, and I repent for that because I have did that before in immaturity, you know, but I'm just going back to the point of this, you know, I don't want to be long-winded myself. And that is that when we put those type of expectations on people that they cannot do in themselves, you know, and it's like, okay, hey, be loose, be free from the expectation of saying that it's on me. But I realized the lighter that I get now is that as I submit under God, you know, as I just submit under his will, and then he tells me about his daughter and then how to love her in a way. Now, because the other aspect about this whole happy wife, happy life, it made me say, okay, wait a minute. Do you keep a wife happy by just agreeing? Mm. And not telling truth, you know, does happy wife, happy life go to the expense of lying? When, okay, so, you know, if your wife is telling you a story, you know, a scenario, will you just fall back? And I have seen men. Now, I know some other friends of mine who have did it. And it was, I know a friend of mine who did it, and it was about me. their girlfriend at the time was upset with something that I said, and he totally agreed with her because he said he did not want an argument, and it wasn't that it was truthful. He just said, "Hey, that was his way to keep peace." And so, sometimes men and women, you know, where a woman can just say, okay, you know what, he the man, because the man can be so stronghold on being dominant that it's like, hey, well, you know what? I'm the wife. I'm supposed to just submit. So I'm just not going to say a word. But at the same time, she's dying in the inside because she's not really able to walk in her the fullness of her purpose because he won't allow her to help, you know? And so, I mean, I don't know. That's just me. I don't know if you all have ever experienced that or ever even seen cases where people have did that, but it just, I know it has some very bad effects, you know, with these type of notions. It can get as extreme as even death or even abuse, you know, where people are getting abused physically, verbally, to the degree of because of this preconceived notion, and they're trying to make up in their mind what they think this supposed to mean. So
yeah, I agree with being slow to speak, but you know, everybody should have a voice in the marriage. You know what I mean? It's not your time to, you know, you just be quiet right now. Nah, it don't work like that. My wife has a voice. I have a voice. Now, it has to be, as you say, Pastor Terrence, sandwiched in love.
Right. You
know what I mean? So we got to be able to express. I think Sister Alicia said, I think she said something to the degree that the communication of the road less traveled or something like that in the comments. It shouldn't be, because we should be communicating all the time, but it goes just back to how we do it. But everybody has a voice in the marriage, not the kids. Kids be quiet. They both equally have a voice, and we have to be able to express whatever. But it's, you know, it's all about approach, and we're still all learning that. I know I am.
Man, and you can go back to your childhood too, man. Like, you know, if you grew up in a home where it was like, it was extremely tense, mm-hmm. and you saw, you know, more than quibbling, you saw some, you know, verbal assaults go back and forth, some bombs going across the house and things like that. You may naturally, you know, to you guys' point, you may naturally want to avoid conflict at all costs. And so being able to go back and point to, man, why is it that I want to avoid all conflict? Why is it that I want to go along, to get along, whatever it is, and not say nothing ever? And just, you know, it's at the end of the day, you're still wounded from your childhood. Mm-hmm. And so until you even get wounded, until you even walk in deliverance from that, yeah. you're going to carry that thing into your marriage with you. Amen. So you need, you know, a partner. You need to spend time with the Lord to even go back to those things. Why is it that I don't speak up? Why is it that that my wife can just do whatever she wants, or my husband, why is it that he can do whatever she wants? You know, sometimes we grow up in those environments where, you know, again, it's affected us in such a way that we don't want to fight no more. Mm. We don't want to fight nobody.
Yeah.
It don't matter what's going on. It's, even when you've been wrong, you're getting beat in the head, you know, people going in your wallet, whatever it is, you know, things like that. It's beyond turning the other cheek. And I know Jesus tells us that we need to be doing that. But this aspect, it's deeper, where it's just like, you know, I saw this, I'm hurt by it, and I'm going to let my husband do whatever he wants. I'm going to let my spouse do whatever they want, because I don't want that conflict. And so, you know, so the happy wife, happy life thing, it hit different for some people. You know, people hearing they truly take that, like, man, let me not battle in this marriage. Because
yeah.
of what I saw, you know, as a young person.
Amen. Yeah, you know, I'm glad you hit that, Jay, because, I mean, when I first got married, you know, and things were good, slowly but surely, when situations came up that had to be addressed, slowly but surely, I saw that, I got that flashback of, man, this situation when I was in the house with my mom, this happened, and that wasn't good. So I'm like, you know what, to really just cut this situation and cut it off, let me just kind of be quiet. Hopefully that it's going to go away. Hopefully that we're able to silently improve upon it. You know what I'm saying? But really what that did was really just add on, you know what I'm saying? Add on a whole bunch of other stuff that really, when it hit the fan, it's like, man, okay, no, you know what? It's time to talk. Because I am a man who I do not, as big as I am, my wife will tell you, I am not confrontational. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what happened either, man. I mean, I grew up, I mean, high school, I was a fighter, but I grew up, man, and it was just like, you know, yes, thank you, ma'am. And you know what? No, it's my fault. I'm sorry. Forgive me. You know what I'm saying? Like I never wanted to escalate a situation. You know what I'm saying? But I saw how man, Orlando, tell the truth, dog. That wasn't right. Say it wasn't right so it can be fixed. You know what I'm saying? And what happens is, man, it's just like a tumble effect of stuff just mounting. And the enemy loved that.
Yeah.
The devil, he loves that. He loves when you keep quiet and you don't express what's going on in the marriage or in the relationship. He loves it because what he wants to do, he wants to build upon it. He wants to build upon it until it's just one big old empire full of mess. One big old house full of mess. And the Bible says that a house divided against itself is going to fall. Yeah. It's going to fall. And so what's most important for all of us who are in relationship, even singles, who are looking to be married, is number one, you got to realize, like, man, you know what? Okay, communication is key. That's number one. And that's so cliche, but it's really number one. But also, man, let me get myself, like Pastor Don, you said, let me get myself right with God, man, because it can be any given day that my husband can say something and I lose who I am. Why? Because I have not solidified a relationship with God. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type person. You know what I'm saying? In my marriage. Like, girl, are you bipolar? Dude, are you okay? You know what I'm saying? And really, it's like, dude, no. Get your relationships together. Start talking with the Father. You're going to start talking with your mate, for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, it's Matthew 6:33 all day. And that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. You know, a lot of times, and, you know, especially us as men, sometime at some point in my life when I heard the scripture, all I thought about was money, right? Well, let me see God first. Then the money gonna come. Hey, I'm a man. I need to provide. You know. However, you know, but it's applicable to every situation, and most importantly, even in marriage. You know. And so, I've learned, and I'm telling, I'm walking it out right now, today. You know, I don't believe that we ever get to a point where we have mastered it. You know, we're all in the same fight, just a different round. But it's in every round, there's another level of maturity. And so, and Ned is like, okay, I've been around this rodeo before, right? You know, so now let me improve and humble myself before the Lord, and let him work. And what I'm finding is that it's no stress. There is no stress. Because from the very moment that I wake up, and now this is the honest God truth, is that nothing has to be going on, and I'm gonna praise the Lord, amen. Thank God for my wife, you know. Yeah. Pray for my wife. Not necessarily if we're not seeing eye to eye, and then when there's a confrontation, you know. But these things must be walked out. But there's a book called Sacred Marriage. And I had started reading it, and this is what I do really enjoy about the book, that it talks about that God uses the entity of marriage to make each individual holy before him.
Wow.
And so it's through the very experiences that we have with our spouses, whether it's the woman to the man or to the man to the woman, but that as we walk in God, that it's more than enough to flourish. The fruit of it will affect everyone in our life, and starting with our spouse next to us. So if my wife is not walking in joy or not displaying more happiness, then the real question is, am I?
Wow. Yeah.
Am I really walking in the joy, because my wife is really a reflection of me. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And so I could be in the motions of life, but not necessarily in the place of where the Lord, where things can be more revealed. But I tell you, it's a joy. It's really a joy to not have to feel my way through. But the Lord knows this was a topic that really needed to be discussed. And I'm sure that it's going to bless some people if they're just hearing this. Again, we say, click the share button. Please share this video so that more men and women can hear this video, because it's going to bless people so that they don't either have to be walking on the defense, or that they could just lose themselves altogether, because that's not the will of the Lord. Let's give our closing remarks. I thank you, brothers, again, I mean, for your wisdom and for your time. Time is so precious. And I just pray that really that any viewer and listener, that they really got something out of this particular topic that we discussed, one of many more to come, you know. And so please, by all means, share your closing statements. And if anybody have any comments, go ahead, or questions, please share them now. I want to say, Sister Barry Hill put up a scripture, Proverbs.
Was it 31?
It was actually, Sister Barry Hill, you can actually just put it up again in the Facebook chat if you can. But other than that, Pastor O, you have anything else you would like to say?
Oh man, again, you know, one of the things I stated in the beginning was, it's not just a one-way street. You know, it's not just the wife getting all the joy out of this marriage, but it's both parties. And in order for both parties to see that, you know, we both got to build together. We both got to go up this roller coaster together so that we can enjoy the ride. You know what I'm saying? And that's all I got to say. I love everybody that's watching. Please share.
All right, Pastor Jason.
Amen. Praise God. I thank y'all, brothers, again, just for the opportunity to minister, man, and for everybody, for their participation. I think the last thing I wanted to add is, you know, Orlando, when you were speaking, you know, you were kind of getting to the point of where men just really being too silent. And yeah, it made me think about Adam, you know, in the garden where.
Come on, dude. Hey, you don't even
understand. I was just about to say it. I was going to say
it. I got that on my book, man. I didn't even say it, man. Oh, come on. Look at God. Look at God. Say it.
You know, where you have that opportunity to step up and, one, defend the home. One, be aware of what's going on in your own home. But then when God is around, you're like, you're silent, right? And so a lot of men are silent these days because of this comment about happy wife, happy life. And we should be speaking up, and we don't have time to get into passivity today. But I believe that we will get into that another time. And what does that look like, you know, for a husband in marriage, right? But, you know, when the opportunity is there, brothers, we got to step up. We got to speak up and declare what God says. And so that's it for me. Love you guys. Thank you for joining tonight.
All right, Pastor Donnie.
Yeah, you know, I would just kind of reiterate in part what I said about get that five love languages book. And not just for married folk. Like, if you single, man, prepare yourself. Now, here's the deal. You're not going to know the work until you get in the marriage, right? That's where the work starts. But at least prepare yourself. Become knowledgeable. Get in the word. Get grounded, because it's going to require a strong foundation. Getting to know your wife and making her quote unquote happy is going to depend on the woman that you marry. It's not, you know, a cookie cutter situation. So you got to learn, you know, how to love your wife first as Christ loved the church. But then, you know, we all require different love, you know, certain things, yeah. You know, my wife likes more than others. I'll say it like that. Like, I know that service, is very strong with her. So your wife could be very unhappy because you're keeping the house nasty. So I would just say, you know, just to be encouraged, but to build yourself up, get in books, stay in the word, go to conferences if you're single, go to conferences if you're married, and just understand how to love each other. And I think one of the things that we've all kind of mentioned is just that communication piece. All too often we get quiet, we get mad and then we get quiet and we don't say nothing. Or we let it build up and it festers and then it's an argument and an explosion. And it never has to come to that. You know, especially as believers, man, we look bad, you know, when it's us doing it. So yeah, I just say be encouraged. Love y'all.
And you know, I want to say one more thing, man, to go about that communication, you know, and I want any married couple out there, man, get y'all some couples, man, that y'all can link up with, man, and ask the questions. You may be having trouble in your marriage, you know, ask another married couple. It's nothing wrong with gleaning off of somebody who may have conquered an area that you're currently in right now, or can even give you some advice or some wisdom regarding the situation. You know, I think that's definitely one of the strengths in my marriage, is just being connected with people who are married. And if I got a question or if there's a problem going on in my marriage, I can ask, you know what I'm saying, and get a response and then implementation, you know what I'm saying? So amen. Love y'all.
Amen. Amen. And you know what I was gonna say in closing, Pastor Jason already touched on it somewhat, what I was gonna say in reference to Adam. And you know, I don't know if granddaddy Adam, if he was the one that first started with this whole happy wife, happy life situation, but it kind of fit the scenario a little bit, you know, because I just leave it with this, is that we cannot love God's creation more than a creator. That we must put God first, but also believe that God would give us the grace on how to deal with any situation or anything, you know. And so even as it pertains to our spouses, as they doing different things, you know, that we must stay in the spirit. You know, there was a solution in the Garden of Eden, even though she had took the fruit and had bitten off of it. But if Adam would have still walked in the spirit, and the key word is in the spirit and not in the flesh, and then the outcome could have been totally different. You know, and so that's one thing that I definitely would like to leave with our viewers, is that choose to walk in the spirit, you know, love God more than just the relationship, you know, of your spouse, you know, and by default, you're going to love your spouse, right? Amen. And so I just say that it is such a blessing, and it is an honor. And thank you all for joining. Again, we'd like for you all to just share. We thank God for our Apostle Barbara Alexander, such a wonderful leader. And we thank God for the River of Life and just all the members and all the special guests that have joined in within this Facebook group. Amen. And so God bless you all. Stay encouraged, and prayer do work. Pastor Dunny, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say for the record, I've been married 9 years. I'm so sorry, man. I just had to say that, man.
Did your wife text you, man? Did your wife text you, man?
Did she hook you up?
No, she didn't, man. It's terrible.
We got you.
I have a great situation, man. I just paused for a moment. Okay. Y'all give me some slack. That's all I got to say.
All right. Well, God bless you all, and we will see you again with One Flesh, and be safe. Love you all. Bye now.
I don't know about you, but that was a powerful and impactful discussion. What you just heard should challenge us as men of God to make sure that we are looking to God's word and partnering with the Holy Spirit to help us lead and guide our families. We can't build our families being motivated by the happiness of another. It's tight, but it's right. Amen. And I want to give a special thank you to Pastor Terrence and Erica Gamble, who are the leaders of One Flesh Marriage Ministry, for having us on. That said, please take a few minutes to subscribe to the Men After God podcast so that you can stay connected. And also, please take a few moments to leave us a review. And if you want to learn more about River of Life Kingdom Ministries, you can do so at rolkm.com. If you'd like to contact me with any questions that you have, please email me at elderjason@rolkm.com. We look forward to seeing you next time. Take care.